This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best tasting protein powder out there. Check them out at BlackStarLabs.com. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. It's episode number 165. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Dr. Jonathan Fass from acceleratedstrength.com. What's up, John?
What's up, Kevin?
No more plugs for your blog until you actually write something.
And sweet. We got sweet. Boycott.
Boycott. Tony Gentilcore.
What's up?
Of the appropriately named TonyGentilcore.com.
What's up?
Your home of softcore porn.
Oh, come on.
I don't know where that came from, but that was good.
And we have Lee Peel.
Dude, Tony, have you been the one sending Russian porn to Lee?
Is that you? Because it's good.
Bless one.
USSR.
Thank you, Kevin.
Welcome to this week's episode. We have a great show lined up for you. First, we're going to talk about the Mike Bowles Strength and Conditioning Seminar from this past yesterday that Tony and I went to. And we have a new logo, which hopefully you will see in the iPod that you're looking at right now, or in iTunes, or on the main site.
Or the iPad.
Or your iPad. It does everything. Yeah, maybe you're looking on an iPad. Wow, this show's starting off great. FitCast accountability blog update. Everyone's been selected. They're getting their entries in slowly but surely. We have pictures, some with funny faces because they removed their head and put something else on there. I'm a huge proponent of that, and I think it's funny. So totally going to allow it. And also, we have one last little piece to talk about, and that's a call to arms. And basically what this is I would love if you guys could talk to your friends, talk to the people that, you know, if you're on websites or if you have Facebook, try to spread the word of the FitCast this week. Please just do what you can. I know a lot of you guys out there are on fitness forums or on fitness communities where you're always talking with people. Try to get some other people to check out the show. I would really appreciate it. And the bigger the show, the bigger the guests we can also get on. So if you want to get that Tracy Anderson interview, we need some more listeners. So we'll see if we can do that. Sound good?
Sounds great.
No, I'm huge in Sweden.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Said I am huge in Sweden.
Are you really?
Actually, I have a strange amount of people that visit my website from Sweden. I think it's because of Martin Burke. I'm there.
Are you like the David Hasselhoff of fitness over there? Like,
damn right I am. If they had a wall that was coming down, I would sing on it. But they don't, so I won't be. No one got that reference? No one?
No, all I know is the video of him eating a hamburger and being like, stop recording me, I'm fat.
It's the Berlin Wall.
Oh, the Berlin Wall, yeah.
It's German, Hasselhoff, yes. He sang on it. Whatever. Okay. Go to the questions, whatever.
All right, Tony, let's talk a little bit about that seminar we went to.
All right, let's talk about it.
Let's have a chat. John and Lee, feel free to go get a drink, make some breakfast, or
have see you later. Spike.
They're literally leaving.
Yeah. I'm refilling my coffee. See you later.
Unless you want us to drop some bombs of knowledge.
I've been waiting all year for that.
You're an ass, John.
Just messing with you. The year's only a month old, dude. That's not that bad.
So basically, we had four presenters. We had Brijesh Patel, John Paloff, Mike Boyle, and Eric Cressy. And the topics included Mike talking about ACL prevention and a little bit about plyometrics was kind of in there. And John Paloff talked about shoulders. There was lots of words in there that Jonathan Fass would be like, yep, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm. So if he was there, we would have had a lot of that. But for everyone else, and also Jesh Patel talked about, I don't Tony, you can give your opinion, but I think it was definitely one of the better presentations was Brijesh's. It was definitely something a little bit different, talking about the camaraderie stuff. He talked a little bit about it last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was really good talking about the competition and stuff. I don't know how much I agree with it, like 100%, because obviously, you know, one of the things that happens, and unfortunately, as an intern with you guys at Cressy's, I became a huge stickler for form.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things is, like, obviously the goal, the you know, form kind of goes out the window when you have people doing, you know, as many reps as possible and doing relays and competitions and things like that. But, there's some good stuff about coaching and, you know, how to work with college age athletes. So I think it was definitely a good presentation. I'm going to try to get Brijesh back on the show to talk a little bit about that down the line. But it was some good stuff. And I don't know what stood out for you, Tony.
Well, admittedly, I arrived about 15, 20 minutes into Brijesh's presentation, but he did talk about this stuff a little bit last year, so what, you know, which is all that camaraderie, team unity. So he talks a lot about, I mean, he goes into a lot of detail, but what he does programming-wise, like how to get his athletes better, stronger, moving more efficiently, but he's very big on environment and how to motivate his athletes to try to push themselves. You know, as a strength coach, when you're working with, and with him, he's working with upwards of hundreds of athletes. No, it's not necessarily his job to motivate every single one of them. So he relies on a lot of his upperclassmen and kind of calls on them to dig into themselves and try to get that mental toughness and bring out the best that they can be. But, yeah, I mean, he even says, like, a lot of the stuff that he advocates at the end of their training session, that, you know, form kind of goes out the window, but it isn't about having picture-perfect form. It's about getting that team unity and just getting people kind of jazzed up about training and excited about training. So, you know, and a lot of times he actually made a good point saying that, you know, when the respective coaches come in to see their athletes training, you know, if they just see them doing, you know, one reps compared with T-spine mobility, they're going to be like, what the hell are you guys doing? But when they come in and see the guys yelling and hooting and hollering and sweating and getting after it, then they're more inclined to think that their athletes are actually getting some work done. So it's kind of like the lesser of two evils, but certainly Brijesh is an excellent coach, definitely thinks outside the box, and he's always been a guy that goes into a lot of detail on team camaraderie and how to build a really good training environment. So I thought it was an excellent talk.
Yeah, and like I said, John Paloff talked a lot about shoulders, and he split up a lot of the anatomy talk by putting in anecdotes like how you can add a B and an R to the back of a $1 bill.
yeah, sure, yeah.
to make a funny little joke, but it was a pretty good talk overall. That's all.
And speaking of, with John's presentation, I mean, he talked a lot about, you know, scapular function and, you know,
actually, that was one of the questions that I meant to ask John about, but I was too much of a little girl to raise my hand and ask it. But basically,
why do you got to do that, Kevin? Why does it got to be little girls?
But basically, what he kind of actually tells his athletes to do, like his baseball,
you know,
players.
we just updated the FitCast logo. We included women. We want to be friendly to both sexes.
The ladies.
And then you got to go and set women's rights back, like, oh, I don't know, 50 years by one callous comment.
College chicks, huh, Kevin?
You know?
Why don't you just tell me to get in your kitchen and cook you a meal?
Seriously. I guess I'd ask the audience to vote on the appropriateness of your comment, but you probably wouldn't even allow the women to vote, would you?
No, it's basically women and anyone from New Jersey.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Fight the beat back.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, basically what he said in his talk, okay, can we educate a little bit? Education. All right, so one of the videos he showed is he actually likes. Oh my god. he likes that, like, if you're doing a bent-over single-arm dumbbell row, he likes that shoulder to kind of drop all the way out, and then you actually protract the scap on the way back. Which, the question I kind of had was, you know, what if, you know, for example, what if someone injured their shoulder a year ago? Is it the same for injuries? Like, how do you address it? Or is that just a general thing you have all the guys do? But I will... The best thing about my job is I can just ask him on Monday when I see him. So I will do that, and I will get you guys an answer. But
on an aside with Paloff, he actually is going to have a new website up on starting in March. I think it's what, paloffpt.com?
I will tell you in a couple of seconds. Oh, no, the rest of his presentation got cut off in the book. I think it's paloffpt.com.
Yeah, so anyway, I mean, people always hear us on the show talk about Paloff, like the Paloff Press. And, I mean, John Paloff, who's a very, very good physical therapist in this area, works a lot with Boyle. But he's a brilliant guy, so his website, I think he says, is going to be going live on March 1st.
Oh, no, it's live right now.
Okay, well, yeah, he has videos, articles, so paloffpt.com. So anyone interested in reading more on his stuff, definitely check it out.
Yeah, that's John for people watching the live stream. So there he is, Mr. Paloff. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We get a big-ass mailbag, so stick around. It's big. That's what she said. All right, time for the mailbag. The first question that we have is for Lee. Krill oil, your thoughts, from Kevin.
Oh, is this from you?
Yeah, sure, Kevin.
I didn't even get that. Alrighty. Well, I will try and keep this short. Let's see. There's only currently, if you look up studies on krill oil, there's 18 studies that make a direct reference to krill oil. And if you look up for studies that cover fish oil, there's 16,000 studies in which that have listed some sort of relevance or usage of fish oil. So it's still not researched that much. The only research that points to krill oil being noticeably better stacked up against fish oil is a PMS research that was done, evaluation of the effects of Neptune krill oil on the management of premenstrual syndrome. I don't know how relevant that is to you, Kevin, but
wow, thanks, Lee.
But no, but krill oil did outperform just regular fish oil. The reason of why it's not really known. Some speculate that it's absorbed better. Some say not. And it thus far there hasn't been like a test in which that they put krill oil in a less amount to fish oil to see if a less amount of krill oil, you know, would perform better than like a larger amount of fish oil. So therefore, because krill oil is still very expensive. It's still, you know, not as cheap as just regular fish oil on the market. So, but if you had to take less of it, you know, if it absorbed better or if it performed better in a smaller amount, then it could actually, you know, maybe end up equaling out for the money. But the thing is that has not been shown yet. It hasn't been proven yet. It's just speculation. Even if it was shown to be a little bit more efficient or absorb better, is it still going to be like turning water into wine or anything? I don't think so. It's still just krill oil, you know. So there's the one side of it, and that there's just such hype right now, especially like the fat gurus love talking about their krill oil, and they talk about all these things that krill oil does. But like I said, there's only been like 18 studies, and if you even look at the comparison official research, it's just, I mean, there is no comparison. So I think for right now, in my personal opinion, I would save my money until something more conclusive came along and just stick to fish oil, which has been researched on a large level and has been shown to do things that are good. If someone just gave you some for free, you know, great. Sure, take it. I don't think it'd be like a bad thing. But yeah, I don't think that there's anything to really write home about yet about the krill oil. So it's just right now, it's just more expensive.
By the way, just for the record, with your accent, I kept hearing Krull, which of course is the 1983 heroic fantasy film directed by Peter Yates and produced by Ron Silverman, according to Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia, man.
It's got to be true.
I don't like you.
I'm just saying. I just kept hearing that.
Wasn't Tom Cruise in that?
No. Liam Neeson was.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I just saw Taken too, but we missed that in off topic.
Apparently he did a lot of parkour in that. Is that true? That's what I kept reading, that he did all this parkour training for Taken, and then
so
I
made a wee bit.
Yeah. Taken was badass.
Hey John.
Yeah.
Can you ask me that next question?
Sure could. This is for Kevin. Hi. I have been listening to your podcast for some time, and I was wondering about the effects of training on, say, 18 and 19-year-olds in terms of weight training. I ask this because I've heard that within the first 2 years of training, it is best to do 3 or so full-body workouts per week, yet for intermediate trainees, it is recommended to do split training. How long would each workout be if you had 6 split sessions per week, and what muscle groups would be targeted?
Oh, we totally already answered this question.
That's what I thought, dude.
Yeah, my bad.
Man.
Question fail.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm going to edit that out.
No. You keep it. You keep the evidence of your fail.
Yeah.
And then we can discuss where the future of this program is going, Kevin Larrabee.
It's been a long weekend. All right. So, John, you want to get the next question for Lee?
I don't know. Did we ask that one too?
John, just do it so I don't have to edit this out.
You know, I felt like a little girl asking that question.
I'm really about to abort the show.
Hey guys, what up, Lee? I'm wondering if you guys can help me.
Can we start that again without laughing?
No,
because I'm editing this out. Yes,
but you're not.
Fine, then we're not asking the question to Lee. Then, and that person won't get their question asked. Mike Anderson will be pissed.
You know what? Mike Anderson's gonna understand.
No, restart the question.
Oh, you're so lame. I thought that was good. I thought that was classic fail.
Yeah, no, I mean, you just ruined the show, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks. Ruined.
Happens.
Hey, guys, what up, Lee? I'm wondering if you guys can help me out with my morning routine. I've joined the rest of America, and I'm looking to lose some fat. I'm making decent progress and understand
John,
the importance
what are you
of large
doing?
Protein. I'm disappointed in you, and I'm reading the question accordingly. Understand the importance
of
large
protein. I'll put it at the end of the show, right? People are going to be pissed if this is in the middle of the show.
However, I normally wake up at 6 a.m. and grab a cup of coffee and take my dog on about a 45-minute walk each morning. I then come in and cook some mix of eggs, oatmeal, dry waffles, and yogurt, depending on the day, Kevin. I'm wondering, am I hurting myself by not getting food in my system a bit earlier? I'm usually sitting down to eat around 7:20 a.m. I struggle to do much more than put on clothes and grab the coffee at 6. Am I sacrificing some gains with this? Also, my girlfriend has recently began working out with me and finds front squats horribly uncomfortable, not due to lack of mobility, much like ouch, this bar sitting here hurts. Any suggestions to help with that too? Thanks. Love the show. Keep in everything that you do and don't edit it out, Kevin.
All right. I made the mistake of talking over that. So, John, I won't. Do you want me to reread it?
Did you really?
Didn't I?
No.
Okay. Then we'll Lee.
Did you?
Lee.
Do I get to answer the question now?
Please. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Are we okay? Do we need to have like a session like real quick? No? Okay.
When I see a bunch of 1- and 2-star reviews within the next week.
Okay. All right. Well, first off, there's so much to touch here. I guess we'll talk about you mentioned that you know, are you going to lose any gains? And you're losing fat. So gains are going to be minimal at best. And I wouldn't really be so much concerned about you know, losing gains because you're in fat loss. But one of the best things that you can do to kind of notice if there is any decrease or loss of gains is if there's any decrease in strength over time in the gym. Now, if you have a significant amount of weight to lose, this kind of just can happen in general. But if you're in the range of, say, you know, 20 pounds, it shouldn't be like a dramatic difference. So it kind of depends on where your range is during the course of this. Some strength loss during fat loss phases is, you know, can happen, but overall. So anyway, you can look for that as a sign. So as far as like walking your dog, technically it's low grade activity. And I, you know, automatically you're going to be using kind of more fattest fuel anyway, after a night of being in like a fasted state. And I'm not a huge fan of strength training or interval training in a fasted state. But low grade activity first thing in the morning, I mean, it could actually potentially give you a slight edge on fat loss. I don't think that it's going to do, you know, any sort of damage. I don't think you're just going to go, you know, just completely catabolic and eat to all your muscle. You know, if you don't eat something within a 45 minute period of time, it's not an incredible amount of energy difference between that and sleep anyway, if it's, you know, just like kind of a walk with your dog. So I say I wouldn't really worry about it too much. It could probably help you increase your fat loss a little bit. You know, just make sure that you strength train in general and do your appropriate nutritional intake. And I really don't think that it's going to be that big of an issue. I wouldn't be concerned. As to the squats, you know, there is a degree of you have to get used to it. But aside from the, you know, suck it up advice, you can look at kind of the mechanics of the squat. People tend to sit back a little bit too much when they start doing a front squat. And it can put a little bit more load in the area and hurt a little bit more. Women are already a little bit weaker in the upper body than men are. So for most women, I usually have most women do front squats with straps. I find that it helps a little bit with the uncomfortability issue. And if any of the guys want to give any little tips or advice there, that's cool too. But that's what I usually do is have women use straps with front squats and just kind of get used to it and make sure you're sitting, you know, correctly in the position. But if form is good, then use straps and also just give it a little time. It does take some time to get used to that, and it can be a little uncomfortable. So, that's it.
You can do the cross arm version, although I've never found that to be as comfortable in terms of control. But you can do the, you know, like that bodybuilder cross arm. You can.
I just so can't do that, and I find so many clients that either.
Yeah,
and there's also stingrays. I mean, you can do that as well, but I've found that those can also sometimes inhibit form.
And a little bit. You can just wrap the bar in a towel. It won't really take too much of the stress off, but at least it's not like metal on skin type of feel.
Cool.
Word.
Let's Lee, would you mind reading the question from Mike?
Mike Anderson?
Anderson.
Okay. All right, just checking. Alrighty. For Kevin or Tony. What up, guys, and Leppel Hill. I have been following your podcast on iTunes for a while. I have never heard you talk about the LL Cool J Platinum Workout. All right. Maybe because it was published in 2007 and I wasn't listening then. I just now read the book. After reading the book, I think you would all approve of it, but I was hoping to get some feedback. I'm starting it today. My stats are 30 years old, 6 foot and 255 pounds. And according to the trainer at the gym and a handheld body fat machine, I have 87 pounds of lean mass. Not that impressive, but that is down from 285 and not being able to do a single push-up. I'm looking to maybe gain a little bit more mass and get down to 215. I would like to be walking around at 215 with the ability to drop to 205 and have around 9% body fat for times when I'm going to the beach. Will this plan work for me? I eat well about 75 to 80% of the time, and when I get motivated, it goes up to about 85 to 90%. Now that football season is almost over, I won't be sitting on the couch eating pizza every Sunday. Go Colts! Mike Anderson.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this, because we did talk about this book. I don't know if you guys remember this, but basically we had Chris Moore on. And he did the nutrition for
That's right.
So, sure. When he came on, we actually talked quite a bit about the nutrition in the book. And I'm going to let you know right now that that was an episode we did about I'm almost blown away, but we've almost been doing this for, like, what, 4 years now? But the episode that he did, it's on thefitcast.com, and I'm going to search for it to give you a direct episode number. And that episode number, I have no clue.
Way to be ready.
Yeah, it's in there someplace. I'll find it while we look at the continue to the show. But I won't kill any more dead air. Tony, do you want to talk a little bit about the program?
Yeah. If I could be wrong.
38.
You might want to tell me if I am wrong, but I believe Joe Dowdell wrote the programming for the book. I could be wrong on that. So, because I have not read the book. But my best piece of advice would be for this guy, the best program is the one you're not doing. So if you read the book and you liked it and you feel it will keep you motivated and it will get you to the gym, then by all means do it. You know, I think, you know, it, like I said, if this is something that you think fits your needs and fits your schedule, and like if it's motivating you, then go for it and full speed ahead. I mean, there's nothing really I can say that can counteract what he's looking to do, but I'm trying to reread the question at the end. He said something about 75. But the diet stuff, Chris Moore is a great nutritionist. I think if you follow that plan, you should be good to go. But like I said, the best program you're doing is the best program that's going to work for you is the one that I fucked up. Hold
on. if I'm not editing that stuff out, we're not editing this out.
Oh man!
I'm trying to reread the question as I'm trying to answer, but
doing it live.
Long story short, do the program; you will be fine.
That was a good one. All right. Good luck, Mike. Episode 38.
Going it well.
Tony, I got another question for you.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, guys. I've been weight training for several years, and after listening to your podcast, I've recently switched from a 5-day bodybuilding style split to a 3-day per week full body regimen. I'm a 38-year-old male, 5'9", and currently 140 pounds. As you can imagine, I'm a classic ectomorph, hard gainer, but a very good muscle definition. Think Bruce Lee type build. I had managed to bulk up to 155 in my early 30s, but now suffer from both GERD, acid reflux disease, and irritable bowel syndrome. So eating in a consistent caloric surplus isn't feasible for me, as it's too hard on my digestive system. With the help of an RD, I've tailored a very clean diet at caloric maintenance levels to both manage these problems and stay as healthy as possible. At this point in my life, I'm primarily interested in maintaining my physique while hopefully still increasing strength. Excuse me. My question is this. Is it possible to continually make progressive gains in strength without adding lean mass to my frame? In other words, will I be able to consistently add load onto my bench, squat, deadlift, etc., or will I plateau at a certain point staying at my current body composition? Any advice and or lifting protocols you can suggest are greatly appreciated. Thanks, Scott from Seattle, Washington.
Awesome. First of all, I'm going to have Lee answer the stuff on the acid reflux disease, because I think she's a little bit more qualified to answer that part of the question. But as far as the increasing strength part, absolutely, you can increase your strength without increasing body weight. Really, all you're talking about is relative strength here. So, you know, strength relative to your size. So, that being said, people are generally going to see more increases in their strength before they're going to see any increase in their size. And that's just a matter of making the nervous system a little bit more efficient. I think the fact that you decrease your training load to 3 days rather than five is definitely a step in the right direction. Most guys who are pure ectomorphs tend to focus a little too much on doing too much, so lowering the training load is going to help. I would even say a really good suggestion would be looking at Eric Cressy's maximum strength protocol. That in and of itself is going to help you tremendously. And Kevin, do you have any more feedback on that?
You know what? Another great thing to check out that will apply to this is Scrawny to Brawny. John Berardi put that together. And if you remember way back in the day, Dr. John Williams actually, I think he was one of the testimonials or one of one of the subjects for it, and he had fantastic results. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. it's very geared towards geared toward you. But if you just want to get stronger, Eric. Oh, excuse me, I can't talk right now. Eric Kressy's book is fantastic. Also, if you listened to Jim Wendler last week, you know, if you want to get stronger, 5-3-1 is another good option. There's a 3-day protocol in there that you can use as well. But I think that is about it.
Well, also, I think a lot of people make the mistake when we tell people to lower it, like when they talk about just doing full body workouts, they just think they need to be doing low reps. I think it's important to realize that you still need to get their higher rep work in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a big reason why we like Eric's book is great. Jim Wendler, the 5-3-1 program, which I just did for the past month, is fantastic. I think,
dude, I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it.
There's a lot to be said about, you know, using higher reps with a greater percentage every one rep max, which is what 5-3-1 had you do. So you need to mix and match your lower rep training with your higher rep training, whether it's having a higher rep day and a lower rep day, or taking more of a conjugate approach where you do your speed work at the beginning of a workout and then just do your accessory work at the end, or doing your max effort work at the beginning of a workout and doing your accessory work after that. So you need to mix it up a little bit. And and certainly, I'm certainly interested in what Lee has to say about the acid reflux stuff in his diet. So I'll let her take over that part.
One quick thing I just want to say, you know, people were mentioning in the chat room, lift heavy because you're going to recruit more muscle motor units. Yeah, that's all well and good. Lift heavy, but also you want to lift fast, so just make sure you're not, you know, lifting too heavy where you're just grinding them out every single time. Like, that's why I think doing something – or you literally don't have to think about it. Like, Jim Wendler, basically, he tells you exactly what you're going to do. You open up an Excel spreadsheet, and you punch in all the formulas, and you're good to go. You don't have to think about what weight you're going to lift today. You're not going to be like, oh, man, you know, I did 225 last week. Let's try to do 245. And then you just – am I not famous for just blowing lifts? Like, I'm famous for that. And
I think a lot of guys make that mistake. They, especially in the first year or two, they miss too many lifts. They feel like they have to grind out every single rep, and that's a huge mistake, I think. I mean, I have to tell a lot of our athletes to take weight off just because they're missing too many lifts. So, mm-hmm. It is a lot to do with quality reps. But yeah, you've taken that to the nth degree by any means. Yes.
And thanks for talking about it almost bi-monthly on your blog, Lee.
Yes. He did say that his registered dietitian already kind of helped him with that issue. So it really doesn't seem like he needs much help with that issue. I mean, for people in general who are trying to gain mass and having issues with digestive problems with eating in a surplus, this is where calorically dense foods and multiple spaced meals does come in handy. And it's a simple, you know, solution to kind of ease the troubles of that. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. It seems like he feels that it's covered. I will say that, you know, as far as continually making progressive, like, strength gains, it does get hard to a degree when you're not eating for it. I mean, it does decrease your ability, you know, on a level when you're not eating for it. So just keep that in mind and try and keep, you know, make sure your caloric intake is at least at a maintenance level as much as possible. And
Lee, question with that though, is there any merit? I mean, I like to keep things simple. So, like, would there be any merit of telling him to, on training days, do we eat a caloric surplus, and on non-training days just cut back to calories a little bit? Or is that a little too basic or way too general?
I mean, I always think that that's a good strategy.
So that's how I would
to operate on. He said that he has a nutritionist, like he has an RD set up. And so it left me a little handicap for what exactly I would tell him to do, because he's, you know, dealing with a medical kind of thing and dealing with an RD. And I don't too much like to step on the toes of that. But in general, for people, I mean, definitely eat more when you lift. And you can, you know, have more lower caloric days when you're not. I think it's just a really simple principle to go. Absolutely. So
Very cool.
I could talk more on it, but I think that you guys, you know, you did enough there.
Awesome. John, are you with us?
Possibly.
Well, we got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Kevin, Dr. Fast, of course. What up, Lee? No, hi to Tony. Sorry, Tony.
Ah, it's okay.
What do we got going on there, John?
Got some nothing. Practice? Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Hey, Kevin, Dr. Fast, of course, what up, Lee? I have a question about thoracic and shoulder mobility. While doing side-lying thoracic twists or the seated thoracic rotation test from Magnificent Mobility, I find that I cannot rotate to the left anywhere near as much as I can rotate to the right. It does not seem to be affecting my training, but I am wondering if it is something if it's something I should be concerned of in the future. Also, I lack mobility in my right shoulder. I can rotate my left arm behind my back and reach up past my mid-right scapula, but while trying to reach my right arm around, I can't even reach halfway up my back. I do feel minor pulling and pain in the front of my shoulder while doing this, and my arm simply does not want to go any further. I have been to a physical therapist for a cervical disc herniation, and while in for that, I mentioned the lack of mobility to him. He gave me a few home exercises to do, but it doesn't seem to be helping as far as lack of thoracic rotation or shoulder mobility. Also, I sometimes have what feels like an impingement in my front rotators, or the same problem shoulder, and while doing these stretches and mobility exercises, it feels as if there's something is slipping and popping out around in there. I've been to a highly recommended orthopedic surgeon who had an MRI done, and he said the MRI showed nothing of concern, just some minor rotator wear. I am wondering what your take on these issues was. Is it rotator?
Yeah. Rotator.
Do you want me to fix that for you, John?
Rotator.
All right, well, it's in front of you, so you can read it. I was wondering what your take on these issues was and what ideas you have for me to improve my imbalances. I train 3 to 4 days per week, usually using one of Cosgrove or Ballantyne's programs, as well as mobility and soft tissue work as much as I can. Sorry for such a long question, and keep up the great podcast. I listen every week, Katie.
Okay. First, as far as asymmetry in rotation, that's fairly normal. Most people will not be symmetrical. It's we look for asymmetries when we if you have a patient come in and, you know, for something hurts or whatever, you're looking for an asymmetry in range of motion, because that will typically be the first thing to try to correct. It's not necessarily proven that an asymmetry, however, will lead to an injury, but it's our best guess as far as how injuries do actually occur, although there was at least one study that I know of that looked at runners with asymmetrical running patterns, and there was no difference in their injury rates over a season of running, which was pretty interesting and unexpected. But basically, you deal with that. You're doing the right things. I mean, using Magnificent Mobility, trying to get your rotation and anything else that you find symmetrical. Make sure that you're also your positioning is not different too. Usually, an asymmetry is not just at the joint. You're going to develop muscle balance asymmetry as well, and it's either chicken or egg. You know, one came first, or maybe they both develop together, but it's almost like we talk a lot about like glute dysfunction, and there's a left glute weakness or a right glute weakness. Same thing can occur anywhere in the body. So certainly the abs and the obliques. So when you're trying to increase your thoracic mobility, make sure that you're abs are firing properly and that your hips are symmetrical while you're trying to do that. Otherwise, what you're seeing is an asymmetry, as a lack of movement one way may actually be too much movement the other way. So you have to make sure that you're aware of exactly what's going on. As far as the shoulder and this feeling of slipping and popping, if there's nothing that's shown up in MRI, the first thing that I would think of in slipping or popping would be like a labral involvement, but if the MRI isn't showing that, then it's unlikely that it's actually there. I mean, MRI, and we've talked about this before as far as imaging evidence, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the cause of a problem, but if everything looks good in there, then chances are it's not a structure that's not moving, it's a structure that is moving, and that's the difference between surgery and rehab. Surgeons repair the things that don't move, and rehab repairs the things that does move. So if you're feeling like this, on you know, this lack of stability, you're feeling some pain in the front of your shoulder, it's very possible that you're actually having a motor recruitment problem at the rotator cuff. The cuff is there to stabilize the head of the humerus when you're moving, and if it feels like it's a little bit loose but there's nothing there to actually show that there's a weakness of the kind of assembly of your shoulder, then it may be that you're not actually recruiting the rotator cuff as well as you should be, so that you're getting extra movement of the humeral head with motion and activity. So that's something that you can work on with rotator cuff exercise and neuromuscular stabilization exercises, which can be kind of difficult to do on your own. Stuff you can do on your own would be things like push-up pluses, I's, T's, Y's, and what else would I give? Probably like scapular retractions and things like that. But you're probably going to get a lot better results with things like perturbation training. So keeping the shoulders stable while someone is kind of basically hitting your arm back and forth, PNF diagonal patterns with resistance, and then actually there's a huge amount of research, at least in terms of quadriceps firing in post-ACL and knee replacement, arthroscopic replacement with electrical stimulation, and that's more of like a rehab type of assignment, but you get a lot better high-level firing with neuromuscular electrical stim. So it's just a couple things that you can think of.
Very good. We're going to run through the rest of these questions really quickly. We have a question that we'll hit on from I forgot to put the name in there, but hey guys, what is your opinion on the best way to warm up for a one rep max? Specifically, I'm wondering about the deadlift, bench, and squat. Typically, I do dynamic warm up coupled with warm up sets. Anything specific you can recommend? And I think we should all tackle this together. I'm sure we all have varying opinions, but Tony, you just went for a one rep max in your trap bar deadlift. How'd you warm up for that?
The dynamic warm-ups is imperative, but the thing I like the best analogy I like to use with these guys, with people warming up, is like you will with your car. So you're not going to just, like in the dead of winter, warm up your car and just take off at 60 miles an hour. So a big mistake I see a lot of guys make when they warm up is they warm up too quickly, meaning, let's say we're doing a deadlift, they'll do a set with 135 and then tack on 315. And then go after it, which is, that's just not gonna cut it. So you need to progressively use heavier loads and progressively work up to get the body ready for the weight you're gonna be trying to do. So, and obviously the heavier you're gonna go, I feel the more sets you're gonna need because you're stronger. So, with my trap bar, I think we did 3 or 4 warm-up sets progressively heavier. So basically I would just do 135 for reps just to get my groove in. Then we would just do triples from like 225, 315 until those got heavy and then start doing singles. So really you're thinking I'm taking maybe 3 to 4 warm-up sets before I even get into my even weight that's close to a one rep max. So I think the term I've heard used before is disinhibition. So basically, your muscles they're inhibited, so they're not going. All of them aren't going to fire all at once to begin with in the first place. So you got to progressively use heavier weights to kind of wake them up a little bit, to get them ready for the weight you want to try to do for the one rep max. So that's the best analogy I've used to describe it. But I'd be interested to see what you have to say, John and Kevin.
Well, I'll hit on one other aspect, and that's just warming up with the lift itself. For example, let's take one of my favorite exercises, the bench.
Yeah,
let's do it. we're just going to do this as a three-man tag team match. But the basically, when you warm up for the bench, one of the best things I saw, and I think I stole it from DeFranco's bench. He is a like an NFL combine TV or something like that. It was on at Boyle's and when I was downstairs, so we just started watching it. And he, one of the things he's talked about is just, you know, as you warm up, keep the speed up as much as you can. Keep the speed up, keep the speed up, keep the speed up. You know, work with weights and you know, go up. And another thing I've been told is, like, go up roughly 50 pounds at a time. And that, again, that's going to depend on what lift you're doing. Like, if you can deadlift 500 pounds going up 50 pounds a time, you're probably going to have to up that a little bit. But if you're, you know, benching and you're going for, like, 250, going up and starting at just the bar, going to, like, 105, then going to 185, then maybe doing a quick rep at 225 and making sure that speed stays up, and then go right from 225 to 250 would be a good step. And wow, I lost my train of thought as well. But warming up, you know, the one thing that you don't want to do is psych yourself out. You want to keep up that confidence level. Every rep that you put up, you want it to be quick. You want it to be fast. You want to be like, damn, this is easy. This is nothing. I'm going to be able to get that 250. That's going to be nothing. I'm going to bang it up like. You know, it's like the slap chop. It's like, hey, bang, 1-2, it's nothing. I don't know why I turned into the slap chop guy. but that is, John, do you have anything to add, or are we going to get into the last lesson? Because I went into the slap chop territory, and we're not getting away from that.
Yeah. First, I think I said arthroscopic or something. I'm in arthroplasty.
I apologize to butt in, John, but I wanted to go back to that last question from Katie. And, with the issues that she was having, the one thing I would chime in and just, I don't know. I'm just, this is like the, me just thinking about it a little bit, but, she says that she, is always doing a fat loss program. And one of the things that people who are always doing fat loss programs is that they never stop doing fat loss programs, and they're always training, and they never stop training. And if you never take a break, the injuries are going to pile up one way or another. I don't care how, you know, how smart your training is, how it's set up. You are going to eventually start to break down. You need to take a week off, go on vacation, you know, play Wii Fit or something. Do yoga for a week instead. I'm not saying yoga is not difficult. I'm just saying, you know, do something that isn't weight training, and you know, that might be part of the things you have to deload and just take a break for a little bit. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. Probably yeah.
No, I mean, it's general, you know what I mean? Like, that's true. You know what I mean? It's you have to give yourself a chance to heal. So if she's not taking breaks, then she has to. Yeah, I think I said, like, arthroscopic or something. It meant arthroplasty, like total knee arthroplasty. I don't know what the hell I'm watching X Games, not paying attention. Yeah, I think you guys were talking about, like, potentiation in warm-ups. So the idea of getting improved neural recruitment of the fiber when before you take your, like, heavy lifts. So there are a number of ways that you can do that. Like, you can do speed rep work. You can do like a one rep max above the weight that you're actually going to be lifting for your set of, like, 2, 3, or 4 or whatever. You know, those are other tricks that you can do. Otherwise, I think you guys, you know, I mean, kind of nailed it.
The key for most guys is to not do too much. Like, half the time their warm up is a workout, so they're doing sets of 10 to do a one rep max, and by the time they get to one rep max weight, it's like they're totally out of gas. So I mean,
again, I don't know of much research that's actually,
you know,
looked
into the weight by,
like,
increments of
warm ups.
You know, yeah, generally I'm 20, 25, maybe 50 pounds, but.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if there is actually. I don't know that there is, like, warm up protocols and seeing
which
one.
Yeah, there's not. I mean,
yeah. So it's all, I mean, as far as we know, it's all speculation, because the amount of research on weightlifting in general is sparse at best. But just the idea is that you're getting your body prepared, and it's more than just that 5-minute bicycle warm up before you start weightlifting. You know, it's you're preparing your body to perform the actual movement that you're asking of it. So a lot of those, I mean, usually I do, it depends on how many reps you're going in the workout. For, like, a single, I'll take, like, 3 or 4 warm-up sets depending, and just kind of increasing the weight as you decrease volume.
And this is something too, like in between, if as I'm warming up for the deadlift, for example, so let's say I do a quick triple at, you know, 315, like in between while I'm resting for that minute, I might do some quick glute activation drills, just to kind of further wake them up. But yeah, there's really no set protocol. I mean, really it's based on the individual, but I think what we've outlined is a good start for most people.
Last thing I want to mention, drink 2 spikes.
That does not work.
And pray for the best. All right, I think we're going to wrap it up there, guys. Thanks for everyone that joined the live show. I apologize for the audio issues. I don't know what we're going to do, but the live shows, we're not going to do another one again until it's absolutely working 100%. So I apologize for that. Please make sure to check out thefitcast.com. We have that Fitcast accountability blog stuff going up this week. Also, I'm sure I'll have some more videos. I put up another one this past week. Check out John's stuff at acceleratedstrength.com. If you want to get a hold of John, you can go to tonygentlecore.com to check out Tony's blog. It's not just softcore porn. There's some great information on there. And you can go to leepeel.com, where Lee also has her blog. Oh, Lee, I haven't even asked you about your podcast in a while. What? No, Lee, what up? when was the last time I asked you that? Come on, what up?
No, everything's going good. We'll make sure to give me, you know, due attention next time. But no, I'm doing a podcast tomorrow. Like, I'm recording one tomorrow. I just did one last week, and it was a good podcast. Things are going good. I got the membership site running. I got a lot of blog posts up, you know, so things are good.
Very cool. If you aren't subscribe to Lee's podcast, people, you really need to check it out. It's something that's totally different, and you hit on a wide range of topics, and I enjoy listening to it every week just because of some of the crazy emails that you get.
I know. I think I'm gonna do a crazy email segment there. I think I need to do it.
Like, you know, ones that you can't use their actual names.
Exactly. Yeah. That could be violating, like, I don't know, laws, and they could get fired. Those kind of emails. Yeah. I think I should throw those out there one day. Like a best of segment. Best of the emails you've never heard.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
On it. I'm there. Okay. That's it, everyone. Thanks again. Please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. The new logo should be out next week. We're going to start taking pre-orders for t-shirts. I'm going to be ordering the shirts next week. We're going to have t-shirts black and white. We might even have ladies' shirts. So we'll have the lady form-fitting shirts and the maybe even some other stuff after that. We just got to get the logo finalized 100%, and we will be good to go. Thanks, everyone, for your support. And I apologize for the show this week. It was kind of rough, but we'll see you next week with a non-live show that will be recorded perfectly. See you next time. All right, welcome to the off-topic discussion. It's Tony, Lee, John, Kevin. We're here trying to record live, but it's not working. So good for
us. So let's bring everyone up to speed. Yeah. We all agree that The Hangover was the funniest movie of last year, except for Tony.
I told you, like, as much as I love 500 Days of Summer, which I do, I put that in the top 3 of my year. I thought I Love You, Man was better than The Hangover.
500 Days of Summer, agreed. Great movie.
And Hangover and we also agree that's a different kind of comedy. So, like, yeah, the fact that The Hangover won over 500 Days of Summer for best comedy, like, all right, whatever. But I felt 500 Days of Summer was a very original movie. It was written well. It was directed well. The acting was superb. I mean, The Hangover is, like, you know, the guy humor, which I love. But I didn't feel it deserved to be win the Golden Globe for best picture. Absurd. Absurd, I tell you.
Movie snob. All right.
I haven't seen Zombieland yet, though. That comes out on DVD.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm going to go see it. I'm definitely going to watch that.
That's funny.
Well, they can hear us kind of. So, yeah, just turn up your volume all the way, folks. I'm sorry about this, and we'll try to make it work next week. I've been playing this game, Mass Effect 2. It's really good, but you guys don't play video games. You have no idea what I'm talking about. I do. You've probably seen commercials.
I have.
Roger Lawson, he and I talked about Marvel vs. Capcom 2 last night, which was pretty awesome. So I just realized that we have to have a play date, and we have to play some of that.
Mm. He was also talking about some online Lord of the Rings game.
Yeah, he's like, you guys, I just resubscribed to Lord of the Rings Online. There's dead silence. He's at a fitness
I love Roger. He's a stud.
Yeah, we're going to get him on here. Pure comedy gold. We went out to eat last night, and he got so screwed on his turkey tips.
Oh, yeah. No, he got steak tips, but they gave him whatever. Turkey tips.
Yeah, first he's like, all right, I want the triple play, but I want just steak. So the guy brings him the plate, and it's steak and chicken, and Roger's like, I don't think this is steak. And the guy looks at it, he's like, no, it's steak. And he's like, no, it's white.
Yeah.
It's white. I know what that looks like. And he's like, oh, it's so hard to tell. Let me bring it back and see what we can do. I'm like, are you borderline? Like, you're not willing to admit your own mistake? Dude obviously wrote down the orders wrong because he screwed up two of the orders that we had.
I admire the guy's guts to actually change the steak chicken thing. I mean, that's pretty gutsy. Because it's an obvious difference, steak and chicken.
Do I sound all right, guys?
You never really do.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have to make sure there's no echoing so I don't get
echo. Oh, hey, yo, you and I both finally saw Avatar?
Dude.
Oh, you guys finally saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is Avatar time.
I did not know that.
Avatar time. Avatar time.
Okay, Avatar time. Avatar Lee, did you see it?
Oh, my God, I have not seen Avatar. Oh,
okay, Lee, you can't.
No spoilers. From the record. No spoilers.
When do I ever get... throughout all these off topics, have I ever gone, yes, I've seen a movie?
That's a good point. Huh.
What was the last thing you saw, like, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
The rest of the universe saw it, but you didn't.
You know what?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is a good movie.
I watched Better Off Dead last night.
Wow.
That was a
great movie, though.
Love that movie. Do you got a problem?
Huh? That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Should have seen something in this century.
Speaking of which, I watched it probably a couple months ago with my girlfriend, and she only made it about halfway through. She didn't like it, and I almost broke up with it.
That is almost grounds for divorce.
That's almost a deal breaker.
It is. I was divorce. Like, I don't know if I can date you anymore.
True story. One of my friends called me up like a year or two ago before he hit talking about his now wife, before they were even engaged. And he goes, dude, we just watched Airplane. She didn't think it was funny. Do I break up with her? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know, dude. That's pretty significant right there. Yeah. And she's in the background like, shut up. It wasn't that funny.
Well, she had a weird voice. Break.
Yeah, she sounded like me just doing like, eh.
All right, so Avatar.
All right, hold on. Can I set this up, please? Can I set this up, Tony?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so went to go see it IMAX 3D, Jordan's Furniture, Tony.
And with the one in Reading, right?
One in Reading. And all right. Went to go see it at 7:30 at night on Sunday. It was actually part of the reason why I had to leave a seminar early last week, and the other part was I had to actually record the show that John and I tried to record. And got there 45 minutes early, so we're like the first 12, 14 people in line, so we could more or less see wherever we wanted to, sit wherever we wanted to. And the got great seats. The movie's starting. I'm like, I'm getting,
as a little precursor to this for the people listening, Jordan's Furniture has an IMAX, but it's one of two theaters in the country, supposedly, that has seats that actually
vibrate
when the movie, as you're watching the movie. So, like, when you have an explosion or, like, anything loud, like, the seat
actually
movies vibrate.
Are big with the ladies.
Dude, Tony, that's just the crap that you told your girlfriend so that you could let off some gas.
It's like,
it's amazing vibrating seats, honey.
It's just my chair. It's
technology. You feel like you're on Pandora.
But anyways, so start watching it, and it's pretty good. And I watched the whole movie. I left the theater. I'm like, you know what? It was pretty good. And then I woke up the next day. I was like, holy crap! That was an awesome movie. I want to go see it again. Like, I don't know why it took 24 hours, but after seeing it, like, I understand why those people are killing themselves, because there is no Pandora. Like,
is that true? Are there actually
that is true.
Yeah, it's
people
true.
People are committing suicide because they'll know they'll never go to Pandora.
That's just absurd.
Yeah.
It is.
It was an actual, like, article in the Times or something.
It was horrible. But,
That's like me being mad that I can't go to Mordor. Oh, my God, I can't. You know,
dream.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's I thought it was great, and I want to see it again before it's gone. And that's a movie that I will never enjoy outside of IMAX 3D.
And what's interesting is, like, with the movie making, it's the second highest grossing film.
No,
did it just pass Titanic?
It's supposed to, like, next week, I think.
Yeah, but 80% of the ticket sales would come from 3D, which is, like, so now the big. You know, the question is whether or not studios are going to invest the money to make all their movies 3D.
Listen, Ghostbusters 3 is going to be shot in 3D. So, there you go.
Wow.
Ghostbusters 3 in 3D.
I didn't realize they were making it.
Call it Ghostbusters 3D. Mm. You haven't heard about this? It's been greenlit. It's coming out in 2011, I think, or 2012. As long as it gets out before the world ends, I'll be happy.
I think the next two Harry Potter films are going to be put in 3D, which I'll do.
No, Althea's dropping in and out. Oh, man.
Dead air, Kevin.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, seriously,
Kevin. They might have told me how to fix this. Hold on. Oh. Might actually be able to fix this. How much is that better? Is that better at all? Maybe. I don't know. All right. Well, anyways, I think that's it for off topic. We're going to go record the main show. You guys satisfied with that?
Are you guys satisfied? Are you not entertained?
Okay.